the game.
All of our bumps today pay homage to 1981, the last time that the Milwaukee Bucks won 60 games. The spring of 1981.
Wasn't this like the song of the year?
Number one song on Billboard's Hot 100 from 1981.
It didn't win the Grammy, did it?
I think it did.
Ooh.
Kim Carnes, Betty Davis, Oz. Number one song. All right, we got that out of the way. Then we'll go to some deeper cuts. Let's play Tom Hardicourt's theme.
Yes.
Joining us now on his way to California to join the Brewers who face the Angels tonight in Orange County. It's our friend from the Journal Sentinel, JSOnline.com, Tom Hardicourt. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for accommodating us with your travel schedule. I know you're about to get on a plane.
Yeah, we're heading out to the West Coast. So, a long, weird deal where you get to go out there for an entire week. I can't remember the last time we did that.
With an off day in between, which is nice. We used to get the San Diego 3 games off day and then Dodgers 3 games.
Yeah, those are always nice trips, too. So the key being the off day in between out in nice weather.
Absolutely. I would split the difference. I'd start in San Diego, and then I'd spend the off night at the Dana Point Marriott, which is kind of halfway between, and then go up to L.A. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I'd usually stop along the way, too, one of the beach communities. Just kind of nice to be able to do something like that.
Are you going to centralize operations and stay in one hotel for a week, or are you going to change with move closer from Orange County to L.A.?
I thought about that, but you can't go by mileage and geography in LA. You have to go by traffic, and it's just not really doable. First of all, if you land between Anaheim and LA proper, I'm not even sure where that puts you, but probably not in some place you want to be.
Probably not.
So I'm going to go down to Anaheim for a few days and move up to what's become one of my favorite places to stay, Pasadena. I learned a few years ago, stay out of L.A., stay out of Hollywood, go to Pasadena. It's really nice there.
Oh, I always stayed at the Marriott right down the hill from Dodger Stadium. That was always...
It's just nothing to do there.
No.
Pasadena is such a cool little town. It's like going to Cedarburg.
It is kind of cool there. I like it. So, Brewers going in with a head of steam. Tom, I guess we got to work backwards. Yesterday's game, Yelich's 100th homer, Zach Davies pitched okay, and then they played the hater card and let him get the final 8 outs of the game.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? It's not the normal use of what you would call a closer. Of course, Council doesn't call him a closer anyway. So, yeah, it's fascinating use of the guy because now you have to assume he's off limits for a while. And so I guess you win today's game and worry about tomorrow's game tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, that's the way it went. There were some good shenanigans in the dugout, too, when they had Braun on deck and they were pretending they were going to hit for Hader and Junior Guerra was warming up and Madden didn't go for it. They walked Yelich intentionally, and then they called his bluff.
Well, right.
And
right.
I love how Joe Madden kind of tipped his water bottle to him and said, "You got me. You got me."
That was a cool move, wasn't it? It was like Joe Madden saying, "Hey, I may have been born at night, but I wasn't born last night."
Exactly. I remember one time it was during the Davey Lopes Jerry Royster era. The Brewers were out of relievers, and were trying to pull this ruse, and they had Billy Castro had a warm-up jacket on, and they had him start warming up and throwing off the mound in the bullpen like they had another reliever. They were trying to fool the other manager.
Oh, my goodness. If they fell for that one, someone should have lost their job.
Exactly. An all-time classic. So Yelich hits the home run. Brewers win the series. Some weird games. Like yesterday was a more normal game, Tom, but the first games were just slugfests. It's like, can anybody pitch? Can anybody get anybody out? What's going on?
Yeah, they finally played real baseball yesterday, right? With just, decent pitching, just enough hitting, no football scores. Boy, the two bullpens took beatings those first two nights. And yesterday, that's more like the Cubs and Brewers usually play. They usually play low-scoring tight games. Those first two games were so odd. And just the teams just look so out of whack and so out of character. You just don't see. Sometimes at Wrigley, with the wind blowing out, you get into those games, but usually not at Miller Park. Those first two games, not to mention the length of them time-wise, were just very, very unusual games.
I happened to score Friday night's game. The first inning took 31 minutes. I was like, we're not off to a good pace. Brandon Woodruff doesn't work that quickly. Quintana didn't have his control that he usually has.
No.
I knew we were doomed.
Yeah, Saturday night they played both NCAA semifinal games during the Brewers-Cubs game.
Yeah, that's how long. It was awful. And then Yeah, Friday night, it's one of those games where the Brewers won, and you leave, if you're a Brewers fan, you leave happy. But I don't imagine Craig was too thrilled. They were up 8-0, and then it's 8-5, and then they're up 13-5, and suddenly it's 13-10, and we're getting close to a save situation, and he's wondering about using his top guys.
Yeah, he said if one more guy would have got on in the ninth inning, he would have got Hader up, and then that would have ruined, you know, what they did using him yesterday. So, hey, you don't want to be used. And you notice that some of the one of the culprits, Taylor Williams, got sent down Sunday too. So, you don't get to fail in the bullpen long these days if you have minor league options.
That's right. So they made that move. So the Brewers win 2 out of 3. Cubs are scuffling. KB made a joke that if they'd have been swept, they might have fired Madden before the home opener today.
Well, can you imagine that? And also, just how about, I mean, it's, how weird is it going to feel for them to even be home today? You know, the Major League Baseball put two really good teams on the road for 3 series to start the season, the Cubs and the Red Sox, and they both got crushed.
But wouldn't it be great to sit at Wrigley and hear, and interim manager?
Yeah.
Well, Mark Loretta.
Well, how about Carl Edwards? He's like one of the mainstays in the bullpen. He didn't make it to foul line introductions. He got sent out over the weekend in Milwaukee.
Yeah, how about that?
He didn't even make it to the home opener.
Because he pitched badly. So we're talking with Tom Hodgecourt of the Journal Sentinel here. Drew and KB, the new 97.3, the game. So, all right, now the Brewers had to kind of, you know, they play the Angels in spring training. What the Cubs just went through was the longest spring training ever. Going to Japan or anything, because they, you know, now they're finally getting home. But the Brewers have to go to this West Coast. Traditionally, this is hard for the Brewers, for, you know, teams that aren't in the West Coast time zone to go out there and have a good week. Now, Yelich, Moustakas, and Braun get to stay at home. Mark Adonasio gets to see games, you know, and stay at home for a week.
Yeah.
There'll be some interesting dynamics, but the big thing that we're looking at is you got two marquee names. You got Christian Yelich and Mike Trout. Even though they don't face each other, that's the matchup to watch tonight.
Yeah. See, I call Mike Trout the best player we never see. You know, we never see him. We're in bed when he plays, right?
Yeah.
And finally, we're going to get to see the guy. Well, he's off to an incredible start, too. Doesn't he have 5 homers?
Yeah, he absolutely unloaded against the Rangers over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, he's living up. If it's possible to live up to a $400 million extension, he's starting to do it. So, he's one of those guys, and he's kind of like Yelich is kind of getting into that territory now where you don't want one guy to beat you, you know? You just don't want to – you want to – well, at the end of the series Wednesday night, you don't want to look back and say, well, we let Mike Trout beat us. Well, duh.
Yeah, they're both approaching Bonds territory. We have to walk them, you know?
Yep, they are.
And the Brewers throw Chacin there tonight. And then we'll talk to you again on Wednesday and stuff, but the back end of this week is kind of the NLCS rematch with the Dodgers, which will be interesting. So,
and then the next week, the Dodgers come to Milwaukee. They play them 2 straight weekends. So we're jumping into the deep end here. We knew it was a tough April. That's why it's nice for the Brewers to get off to an 8-2 start, because, you know, anything they can get above 500 in April to me is going to be gravy on the cake, as Boomer Scott always
says. As Boomer would say, yes. And I always tell people, look at 10-game blocks and 20-game blocks. In this 10-game block, they're 8-2.
Yeah, Doug Whelan used to always say, when he was general manager, he liked looking at the standings because it would say last 10, you know, across in the final columns, the last 10. He said that kind of gave you a temperature of your team. If it was 8-2 or 7-3 or even 6-4, you were okay. But if you saw like a 2-8 or a 3-7, then you knew you were scuffling.
And that's what the Brewers did last year really well, is avoid those stretches, those death spirals where you lose, you know, where you lose 5 out of 8. They avoided those.
Yeah. They only had one of those. They lost that 5-game series in Pittsburgh going into the All-Star break. And that was really their only, where they lost a whole bunch of games in a row. Then they came out and started playing way better in the second half. So, yeah, I don't know how many straight series they've won now going back to last year, but it's a lot.
Yeah,
and that's what you do. If you win series, you're going to be in the playoffs. You know, if you keep winning series, you are going to be in the playoffs.
The other thing is, Tom, they've been winning in different ways. Like you said, they slugged out. They've pitched well. And I still get the feeling that the young guys in the rotation haven't found their footing yet, especially, you know, Woodruff and Burns.
And look at the two nice starts they've got from Zach Davies, too. They got to feel good about that. He sort of became a forgotten man because he was hurt all last year. We forget this guy won 17 games in 2017. 17 games, he was their best, biggest winner. So this is a guy who knows how to win in the big leagues. And he's had, and April's always been kind of a bad month for him because he's one of those finesse guys who has to find his, you know, his release point. And I mean, he was dotting some eyes with his fastball yesterday. He was pitching right on the edges, and you know, Contreras finally hit one out. But until then, they weren't doing anything to him. And if he's going to pitch well, that's going to be like found money because he really wasn't a factor last year.
Although he's got to get rid of that wispy mustache because I was watching him yesterday and he kind of reminded me of a guy that would be hanging out with Jesse in Breaking Bad. You know, he's kind of thin and scrawny. He's got that wispy mustache. Hat sits down way too low. Got to change that look a little.
Classic.
Well, he's tried to do anything to not look like the bat boy. You know, he, you know, all these MLB players have their IDs, have MLB IDs. He has to show his every ballpark to get into. They think he's some kid trying to sneak in, or the bat boy showing up early. You know, he gets carded more than anybody on the team.
That's right.
So he's got to do something to try to make himself look a little older. You know, we talk about these kids, but Davies is only like 24, 25. You know,
he's
still
young
guy too.
Two quickies for you, Tom. First of all, your thoughts on the Reds-Pirates fight. They played each other a bunch of times the first couple weeks here, and they had a pretty good one yesterday, and Yasiel Puig was at the center of it.
Yeah, did you see that photo? It looked like he was taking on the entire Pittsburgh team.
It did. Photo reminded me of Game of Thrones, the Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah, it was incredible. Incredible. Well, the Pirates get in a lot of that stuff. They throw at people a lot.
Yeah.
Every year, you look it up, every year they lead the league in hitting batters and getting batters hit because teams retaliate against them. So it doesn't surprise me that the Pirates did it. Doesn't surprise me that Puig did it. You know, one of my favorite sayings is always the same guys.
That's right. Same guys. And, Tom, lastly, good luck tonight. Your beloved Virginia Cavaliers.
They got to win, don't they? You know, they've had two incredible pull out of their rear end victories, right? So I'm hoping that means that their destiny, or, you know, they shouldn't even be there by a lot of standards. But boy, it'd be nice. You get this far, you want to win it, don't you?
Well, I tell you something, with Virginia making this deep run in the tournament, I can go weeks, even months, without ever thinking about you. And now it's happening almost every day.
I know. Don't you hate yourself for that?
Bye, Menon. We love you. Tom, we will talk to you on Wednesday. Safe travels out to and we know you're going to be – hope you can get something in the paper. We know you're going to be working late.
Yeah, I will be. That's okay. JS Online. That's why we have JS Online.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom.
All right, thanks, guys.
Tom Haudricourt on his way to California. Be covering the Brewers. Best Brewers Talk is right here. Drew and KB. We have a concert announcement coming up. The new 97.3 The Game.